Luke chapter 21, we're going to take a look at one of the most exciting chapters, I believe, in the Bible, in Luke chapter 21. And it has to deal with the last days, the end of the earth, the coming of Jesus Christ, the Antichrist, the taking away of the church, and the man of sin that we read in 2 Thessalonians. So, believe it or not, there is coming a time that God is going to wind down the earth. And God is going to take His people out who are faithful to Him. God is going to remove those who are committed to Him. And it will begin the great tribulation for the next 7 years. And the first thing that is going to happen when the church is taken out, he that hindereth will be hindered until he be taken out of the way, is the Antichrist is going to come onto the scene, going to make a covenant with the nation of Israel, going to have the answers for all the world. And right now, as you look at the world in which we live, there are more nations beginning to arise, less leadership, and the stage is being set. And so the Lord promised that He was coming. And a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. The dead in Christ will rise first, then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. He that has his hope purifieth himself unto the very end, 1 John tells us in chapter 3. And we look for that blessed hope of our appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're not ready to meet the Lord, you're in trouble. Because if He came now, no man knows the day nor the time. Concerning the first coming, we know. Concerning the second coming, every eye shall see Him. But two will be walking, one will be taken. Two will be sleeping, one will be taken. Two will be working, one will be taken. We just got done reading the book Left Behind, and we decided to do that as a couple. And there, as I come home, Gail reads it to me, and I just lay and drink iced tea listening to it. And she gets all excited, and she plays all the different people, and just kind of real exciting to listen to it, until she came to one point where the pastor got left behind. And it just scared me to death. I thought, huh. Now, why would he put that in that book? And instantly I thought, I don't know if I like this guy or not. And the pastor that was left behind becomes quite an interesting character and has a real move of God upon his heart. And I thought, you know, Lord, when she was reading, just between me and you, I just want to make sure one more time, come into my heart and save me. You know, it's just like, whoa, be left behind. But I don't think we believe it. Because we sure don't act like it. With all the carnality, all the fighting, all the bickering, all the greed, all the lust, it seems like we're really committed to this world. I think if we were committed in a way that we would live every day expecting the Lord to come, at any moment it would change our attitude. And so we look around the body of Christ and we see nasty attitudes. We look around the body of Christ and we see businessmen who are not being honest and filled with integrity. We look around the ministry and we see pastors who are not walking the way they ought to be walking. And we hold our head in shame, and we ought not to. We ought to be looking for that blessed hope and that coming appearing. And so we're going to take a good look at that this evening. But this morning, I want to draw your attention to just a couple verses here in Luke chapter 21. He goes on to mention in Luke chapter 21 in verse 8, he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. The time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Verse 26, men's heart will fail them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, The word power there in the Greek is a word that means demonic power. You know in the book of Revelation in chapters 12 and 13 that Satan will be thrown out of heaven once and for all. He's there now making accusation against you, but when he is thrown out of heaven once and for all, the Bible goes on to say, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for your time is just near. When the church is taken out, we find in Revelation chapter 6 through 18 that 1 billion people will be annihilated. It is the judgment of God upon the world because they did not believe. He came into the world to tell people that he was coming back. He came into the world and died that he would take away sin. He said that he was going to prepare a place for you, and when he was done, he was coming back. In every one of the parables, he declared that a man went into a far country, but he's coming back. To the steward that was given the ministry, when the Lord came back, he was not doing his job, and it was taken away, and he was an unprofitable servant. So no man knows the hour. If the owner of the house would have known the night the thief would have come, he would have never been robbed. And so we are to live expecting the Lord, looking to the Lord, anticipating the Lord in everything we do. And it goes on to say in verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. In verse 34, take heed to yourself, so no one else, yourself and myself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with a careless attitude and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unaware. For as snare shall come, it shall upon them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Now we know that the Bible declares that God knows how to deliver the righteous out of temptation and deliver the ungodly to the day of judgment. I will say this before we dive into the study. There are two tribulations that you will need to understand. The tribulation you might be in today is not the tribulation of God, but the tribulation of the God of this world, the persecution. Where you place a Bible in the corner of your table at work, you are criticized. When you mention the Lord, you are made fun of. When you begin to share the love of Christ, you are put down. That is the tribulation of Satan. That is the persecution of the enemy. The tribulation of God will come after the church is gone. It is the day of his wrath. And if you are saved and love the Lord, then you are not appointed to a day of wrath. But you are going to escape that. But we are to take heed that we do not lose heart. We are not to neglect such great salvation. And so I thought that I would teach you quickly this morning, as you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, one of the great words of God. If you were to ask me, what is the most famous word that God has ever declared, I would say simply, come. Maybe tomorrow you would go out to your mailbox, you would open that mailbox, and there would be a letter. I got one of these letters. It was kind of interesting. It had the White House stamp upon it. And I was invited to a breakfast with the president and with all the other pastors there. And not all the pastors get to go, but I was invited. And it was really kind of a neat, neat little letter, stamped and everything else, but I couldn't make it. But imagine if we went tomorrow to our mailbox and we opened it up and there was a letter to you addressed from the President of the United States. You opened it up and it would be inviting you to come to dinner with some of the people that you have never met. The Queen of England, maybe the Chief Justice, the Supreme Court, other lightweight people there in Washington. And the president answered and said, I would like you to respond as soon as possible. What would you do? Well, in humility, we probably would say, I'm not going to go, but we would go. because we've been invited by the President of the United States. Well, the King of Kings is inviting you this morning to come. And I believe the greatest word that God has ever brought forth into His scriptures is the word come. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, He said, come now, all ye. And very simply, in Isaiah, He goes on to declare, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. So come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Notice, if you would, and not going to spend a lot of time, but interesting that in verse 2, He says in the very last phrase, but you have rebelled against me. So underline the word rebel in verse 2. Then also in verse 3, it goes on to declare the very last few words, does not consider. Underline the word does not consider. Then in verse 4, underline the word, they have forsaken the Lord. About halfway down, they have forsaken the Lord. And then in verse 5, underline the word, and their whole heart faints. Their whole heart faints. And then lastly in verse 7, your country is desolate. Now God is speaking to a people that were living in rebellion. And they didn't want to see what God would have for them. They were rebellious against the things of God. They would not consider, even for a moment, what God might want to do with them and through them and let us reap on them. They would not even consider the work of God upon their life. Then we read that they had forsaken the way of God. God had led them these years and been good to them, but they had forsaken the goodness of God, and they had gone after the things of this world. And then we read that their bodies were now sick and their hearts were fainting because their hearts were exploding with anxiety and pressure. And so instead of turning to God, they're turning to Prozac, and South Bay is number one for Prozac because the anxiety level is unbelievable and hearts are beginning to falter all over the place. And then it mentions that their cities are desolate. Schools are being shot up, and people still will not come and reason with the Lord. And maybe this morning you find yourself a little rebellious with God. You're not in the Word and not seeking the Lord, and you're not ready for the Lord to come back, and so He's telling you, let's talk about it. Or maybe rebellion's not your problem. Maybe you just don't consider the Lord because business is more important and things are more important and family is more important, and you have not considered what maybe God wants to do with your life, and you don't believe that God has a purpose for your life. I think of Ernie next door working, I believe, with a moment. He's destined for that job. That God made him and born him and ordained him that he would do the work of God. And when I look at him now, there's a joy that I just never have seen before, but he's been called by God and doing what God has laid before him. Or maybe you have just been filled with anxiety and pressure, and work is becoming more difficult, and lust is becoming more difficult, and anger is becoming more ridden with anxiety because the enemy is hitting you harder than you've ever been hit before. And so the anxiety inside of you, and God is saying, don't worry, come, and you won't come. He's saying, trust me, but we don't. And so we find that our hearts are tensions, that our minds are scattered. And so He says, come now. Let's reason together. Let's just talk about what you're going through. Let's talk about your marriage. Let's talk about your single life. Let's talk about what you're going through at work. Let's talk about the way you feel that no seeking the Lord. Let's talk about your insecurity. Let's talk about all the pain in your life and how you were molested. Let's talk right now, me and you, God. And yet, though God wants to talk, somehow, for some reason, I'm too busy. And God's saying, if you're too busy, then you're going to miss it. Take heed to yourself, but how do I make sure that I'm tuned in to the Lord? You need to come now. Every moment of your waking life, you need to come. You need to give God your problems and surrender your life to the Lord and give God the burdens and the anxieties and trust Him with all your heart, with all your soul. Come now. I like that. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say at the end of the study. You come now in your mind, your heart. Find that quiet place and just say, God, take control of my life. It's out of control. Lord, I'm coming apart because I haven't come apart with you. Lord, settle my mind, settle my heart. He says, come now. The next time I find the word very interesting is found very simply in Luke chapter 19, verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I think the second word that is very interesting is come down. I think, first of all, you need to come now. But once the Lord begins to talk with you, the very first thing he's going to tell you, he's going to tell you to come down. He's going to show you that you've been climbing the wrong tree. You've been climbing the wrong ladder. You've been looking to the wrong things. Sometimes we think we need to grow up, and I think we need to learn to grow down. The Bible declares we need to be like a child. And here Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a very wealthy man, to say the least. And he wanted to hear and he wanted to see, but his only option was to climb a tree and to listen, to hear. And the Lord walked right up and said, you come down. I need to go in your house. And I'm here to tell you that unless you come down, God cannot come in. You need to humble yourself and humble your pride and humble your ambitions and humble who you are and realize that I'm helpless and hopeless apart from God. I might be great and have great charisma and a great ability to build, but apart from God, I'm going to fall apart. And the reason why sometimes we don't make it to the very end is because we don't come down out of our high towers. Jesus wouldn't come up. He said, you come down. And we need to go into your house, and I want to talk to you, and I want to reason with you, but you need to come out of that tree. You need to come out of that business. You need to come out of that social environment. You need to come out of where you're at and come down to who I am and listen to what I'm saying to you. You need to humble yourself. And many people can't do that. The intelligence, God says it's foolishness. We call it an intelligence. God says it's foolishness. Not to hearken to the Lord is a very foolish thing. But not only did he say to come down, but I also read in John chapter 11, verse 43, and you know the story so well. I've taught it before. It was concerning Lazarus, you remember? And it goes on to declare, come, he says, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. You remember how Mary and Martha sent someone to find Jesus and say that Lazarus, their brother, was dying. Jesus knew, and so he took his time, and finally Lazarus died. And as Jesus Christ was coming back into Jericho, we read that Martha met him in the street and said, where were you? If you would have been here, my brother would have never died. And Jesus let her go on, accusing him that he was not there in time. And finally he said, your brother's not dead, he's alive. And she said, well, I believe in the resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And he looked to her and he said, where did you bury him? And they took him to the tomb and he walked in front of the tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. I think it's one thing that you need to come to God now. I think secondly, we need to come down out of our minds and out of this ivory tower and come down to reality that I got needs and I have important issues I need to deal with in my life. But thirdly, I need to come forth. You see, God has told me to come alive. I was once dead in sin, shapen in iniquity. But now God has turned me from idols to serve a living God. The Bible declares to come to Him in the newness of life, that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things become new. And that I am to walk in that fullness of God. And I am to believe with all my heart that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I am to walk in victory. But oftentimes I stay in the tomb. I'm all tied up. And I find it very interesting that God said to the people around Martha, you guys unloose him. And I think the church is to unloose people, not tie them up. And just today, tie people up. You can't do this, you can't do that. Listen, the ministry of reconciliation is to set you free. Not that you would sin, God forbid, but that you would serve a God with all your heart, with all your mind, and you would stand and not be ashamed. That He'll put the words in your mouth and wisdom in your mind to speak the word of God. But you've got to come out. Nazareth, take a step of faith. Getting born again is the beginning to God. And takers of the divine nature is what God wants. He wants you to come out of that shell. He doesn't want to change your personality and make you a great glory. He just wants you to be happy and have you be very confident in who you are. And that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to give you power and boldness. And maybe God's giving you quietness, but in a moment, God will give you strength. You're never to live in the past, but you need to come out into the sunshine and begin to live for God. And so you need to come now. And we need to come down. And we need to come forth. And the other one that came to me was out of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think when I begin to come out of the cave and I begin to walk in the newness of Christ, I get blasted. I get hit. I get tired. I get exhausted. And I want you to listen to what I'm going to tell you. And pay attention, because I don't want you to misunderstand, but I do get tired in it. But I never get tired of it. I never get tired of the ministry. I do get tired in it. The day that I get tired of the ministry, I need to move on. But for you to think that you're never going to get tired in your marriage, you just don't get born again in your marriage. You're going to get tired in raising the children, but you better never get tired of the children. And I think we understand what I'm saying. But when I become tired in it, who do I turn to? When I become tired of raising the children, who do I turn to? Husband doesn't want to come home. He's got the gift of wisdom. That's what he thinks. Gift of stupidity is what his wife thinks. God thinks probably a coward. But what do you do when you get tired and weary and you feel weak and feeble and you feel like you're ready just to fall apart and smote the rock or tell somebody how you really feel or take the shopping cart and run over them in the mall? You ever felt that way? Someone cut in front of me the other day at the grocery store. I felt like taking the cart and just running over them in Jesus' newness of... How dare you? I couldn't believe it. She was a cute old thing. And then finally I thought, you know, Lord, you sent that little old lady just to tell me and show me my wicked heart. And I just, because I don't, I was just kind of rushing and tired and exhausted, and I was standing in line and she just cut right in front of me. Bam! I thought, here's this loving, compassionate pastor of South Bay in the papers, went to jail for running over a woman in a shopping cart. Went ballistic. Well, you could say, well, I can't believe you did that, Pastor Steve. Oh, give me a break. Like you don't? Come on. You're driving down the street and someone cuts you off? What do you do? Someone parks in front of your house? Someone throws a rug over your wall? Someone takes your chair? That's enough to kill somebody. What do I do? Come unto Him. But I don't. I go to friends. But they don't want to see you. They got their own problems. Have you ever wondered why we don't have a lot of friends? What's a friend? I want to tell him my problem. Well, he has problems. He don't want to hear it. If he doesn't have problems, then he definitely doesn't want to hear it, because when he gets done with you, he's going to be bummed out. So who do you go to? The other day at the grove, Jesus. You need to come now. You need to come down. You need to come forth. And you need to come unto him. If you're laden, tired, exhausted. But I think in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, that ye be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know, it's one thing out of the cave and beginning to live in the victory of Christ. It's another thing learning to come over. Oh, I begin to have difficult times and I become weary within my life. But I want you to very carefully listen to what I'm about to tell you. You need to come out of the habit of sin. You're driving. You need to come out of that area of being unequally yoked. You need to come out of the way of the internet or the web or the net. You need to come out of that thing that is hurting your relationship with God. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. So he'll start with you. Come now, let's talk about this thing. I don't. He'll begin to explain to you, you need to come down and change your heart and mind and humble yourself and come as a child. You need to come out. What's a friend? Past and walk in the newness of victory of Jesus Christ. You need to come to me when you're having a problem so I can fix it and help you and give you strength, for as your day is, so shall your strength be. But you, Stephen, you need to come out of that sin. You need to separate yourself unto me, because I'm coming back. If you're, and the nobleman went into a far country, but I think it's return, but I don't know when. Two are walking and one is taken. Two is sleeping and one is taken. I don't know when he's coming. And so I don't want to be doing something that's not pleasing to God. And the reason why you're unequally yoked is because you didn't listen to God when he said, come unto me. And the reason why you didn't come to him is because you weren't understanding that you've been invited to come to the king. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I disagree. Well, then you disagree with God's word. You are to be separate unto the Lord. If you're dating a non-believer, you're in sin. If you're living with a partner outside of marriage, you are in sin, and I doubt if you're going in the rapture. You say, well, I highly disagree with you. Well, you're in trouble. Because it's not what I said, it's what God says. So take heed. Well, how did I get myself in this mess? You need to have a victory. How do I make sure I make it to the very end? You need to come to God. So then help you and walk as he's come to God. Finally, I read in my Bible, I'm to come up. And Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked up, behold, a door was open in heaven, and a first voice which I heard was it as of a trumpet, talking and saying, come up. I think that's the one thing I want more than anything in my life. And I have to tell you that these last 2 weeks, I have done a lot of thinking about the coming of Christ. Come unto me. You say, oh, Pastor Steve, they've been saying that for years. Well, Peter would agree. Mockers and scoffers said that they, from the very beginning, said that he was coming. Where is the coming of our Lord? Do you not know that the Lord is patient, not willing that any should God's word, but all should come to repentance? You are to be. And all that God is waiting for is that last person to accept Christ, and we're out of here. In the book that I gave reference to, Left Behind, I did take courage that there was one guy, when he took off, his clothes were folded, his hearing aids were on the clothes. But no, I don't doubt that I'm going to go. But it does not give me a license to mess what I want. We gamble. We play around. We flirt. This is one area that takes all of your mind, all of your soul and all of your spirit to be diligent. Are you ready to meet Jesus now? Can you look at him and say, I've been looking, the door was open every day, and I'm glad to see you. It's a cute little story about a girl that overheard her mom talking about the coming of the Lord. She was only 7 years old, and she went up in her room, and you say, oh, in the bath, and she scrubbed her little head, and Peter would agree, mockers, and she put on a dress, and she was standing at the window looking out. Her mom came up and kind of like, are you okay? Yes. You put perfume on. Uh-huh. Honey, it's time for bed, and you're all dressed. Uh-huh. You took a bath by yourself? Uh-huh. Well, why? You said Jesus was coming. And I'm encouraged that, and I want to be when he took, and I want to smell good for him. Well, I would equate that in my life. Stephen, are you looking out the window? Stephen, have you put on the new man? Stephen, mess filled with the Spirit of God. There were 10 virgins, 5 were ready, 5 were not, 5 were left. You have to answer that question. God says, come now. Let's pray. Are you ready? Father, we ask this morning that you would minister to our hearts. Lord, we need to wake up and to realize that, God, it's high time to awake. Lord, the bickering, the fighting at home, with our children, at church, the business relationships, the way we handle our lives, are they lived in such a way that we believe that you are coming at any moment? Lord, do we have time to fight with our friends? Do we have time to criticize the church or other things? Do we have time to flirt with perfume on? Do we have time to satisfy ourselves? Lord, you said that there was a coming flood. Jesus was coming, and it came. You said from the very beginning of John, I want to smell that her seed would bruise the serpent's head. Lord, you're coming. On Calvary, you destroyed the power of Satan, filled with the Spirit of God. Came with you, and he was taken. We find Ezekiel that he was taken in the chariot. We find Daniel that he was missing in chapter 3 when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in now. We find that Abraham, father, sent a servant to find a wife for Isaac. Lord, you have sent your spirit to get ready a bride because you're coming. The angels declare to your disciples, why do you stand gazing into heaven? Looking at this Jesus, don't you know that this same Jesus who's left in the clouds is going in the clouds? This relation, Jude tells us, behold, he can handle our thousands of his saints to execute judgment. Father, because we have kept the words of patience, you have also kept us from the hour of temptation. So, Lord, we lay our lives upon your word. Do we have Lord, we take your word at total face value. You said, take heed. Lord, we as a church satisfy our heed. The days are short. The time is come flood. The end, and it came within reach. Lord, may you beginning of the spirit within our hearts. And where our head serpent's head and our eyes are closed. Maybe there are some of you that have been rebellious. The power. Maybe some of you have never come filled with the Spirit of Christ. And God is asking you to come now. You're already in trouble. He just wants to reason with you. He wants to take you out of the heartache. We find that Abraham, father of Christ. Or maybe you've walked away from him. Maybe you've been angry with God and it's time for you to reconcile your life with Him. He's been good to you and you know that. You need to come home. You need to come out of the tree. Humble yourself and acknowledge that God is the Lord of your life. If you'd like to ask Christ to come into your heart or rededicate your life, would you simply raise your hand that I might pray for you this morning? And raise them high. God bless you. 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 Don't be embarrassed. God bless you. He wasn't embarrassed to die for you. Do we? If I'm wrong, you haven't lost anything. But if I'm right, you've lost eternity. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.